party people, and welcome back to another episode
party
of
Legend People.
Yeah, was that lame?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to all the party people. They're like, finally, someone's talking to
yeah.
me.
That's a good point. Never mind. I'm being a Debbie Downer. Welcome to Allegedly. I'm Theo Vaughn.
And I'm Matthew Cole Weiss. And we are here with our great special guest today, one of my dear friends, Jason Ritter.
Hello.
Who you may know from Gravity Falls is probably what you probably get, like, tons of the kids love you for that.
Not that
the kids are watching or listening to our show, but that's what. And tons of movies and TV shows and
very busy career.
Very, very busy. Thanks, and awesome career.
Thanks.
Selective and good, and I like that about you. Anyway, we are here to do another episode of our podcast, and this is a competitive podcast in which Theo and I will compete to win in three rounds, which we have discussed. First round, we will tell stories. Second round, we will interview you. And third round, we will debate. And I don't want any, you know, the fact that I've known you for, I don't know, 15 years or so to, come into play at all.
Relationship dropping. Your relationship.
But if it happens to do so, then so be it. So our first round, we call Tales from the Wood. And this is where we will each tell an embarrassing or funny or something about what it's really like to live
real
in Hollywood.
Story.
Real story.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can award the winner.
All right.
I will go first. Yeah. Andrew, can we get 5 minutes on the clock or start the timer, please? All right. This is a story that actually just happened to me. As you know, I do journalism stuff, and I've actually interviewed Jason before, even though he's a dear friend of mine.
Wow,
we were at an
name
event.
Name dropping.
We were
to the name.
Jason Ritter before. I went to the People magazine sent me to this event last week. It was the Billboard Men of Music Style something, who knows? I mean, literally goes in one ear and out the other with these things. But it was at Kelly Lynch's house, by the way. Do you remember Kelly Lynch? She was this actress from the 90s. She was in the movie Curly Sue.
Ooh,
do you remember
I loved Curly Sue?
She's the, like, tall blonde chick.
No way.
So it was at her house, which was so bizarre because it's like this, it's a beautiful house, but it's very like 70s style. And it's really cool. Anyway, so the party's at the house. That's not the part. That's not the story. The story is a bunch of celebrities were there. Nick Jonas came.
Christopher Walken, was he there?
No, Christopher Walken was not there. Nick Jonas was there, and Rashida Jones, and all these great people. And I was doing my interview thing, but then I see Courtney Love. And Courtney Love is someone that I find fascinating over the years, you know, from working at TMZ and hearing all of her crazy stories, but also just watching her and watching the documentary about her and Kurt and just knowing what her life is. Anyway, so I talk to her, and she's very nice, and she gives me a picture and everything. But then she's sitting on this ottoman thing, and I'm like, well, I'll sit right behind it and, you know, I don't know. I'm sitting next to Courtney Love, and so I can say that I'm sitting at the same place as Courtney Love. She's speaking with Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy. I'm not sure how Kurt Cobain would feel about that, just in general, because it's Fall Out Boy. Anyway, so she's talking. She's having fun. She's drinking. She leaves, and I notice she left her jacket. And so I had this moment.
You noticed you left because you had snuck it away from
her. Well, no. I had this moment where I touched it, and I was like, should I keep Courtney Love's jacket? Not that I would ever. What the fuck would I do with it? Like, put it on a mannequin in my closet and, like,
smoke it.
Pray to it every night. Yeah, smoke it. And I'm like, oh, this would be kind of cool. Because I've been to celebrities' houses before, like, because for events. Like, one time I went to Serena Williams' house, and I was in the bathroom, and there was a monogram towel, and I was like, I'm going to take it. I don't know why I took it.
Did you?
I did take it. I took it. It was pretty awful thing to do. But now I have Serena Williams. It's a SW.
I'm missing some soup spoons from my place.
Anyway, so Courtney Love, I'm like, you know what? No, the right thing to do is to give it to her. So I run out. She left. She's sitting at valet, and I was like, Courtney, is this your jacket? And she goes, oh, yes. Yes, thank you so much. That's so sweet. Now, could you find my car? And I was like, what? And she's like, my car's here somewhere. And I was like, oh, I don't work here. And she goes, oh, I know. And I was like, okay. She's like, my driver's name is Curtis. Just go knock on the windows and find out who Curtis is.
Really?
I mean, this is Courtney Love. I mean, of course. She lives in a different atmosphere. And what am I going to do? So I was like, all right. So I go and I knock on every door. And I'm like, Curtis? Curtis, and I find her driver. And so I come back like her assistant or something. I'm like, oh, Miss Love, your car's over there. And she goes, oh, okay. And she walks by, and I'm expecting, like, thank you, mm-hmm. or a giant hug, like, oh,
or
you
a BJ,
found my car.
Maybe. It's Courtney Love, you know?
Or just you know, acknowledgement of just like, I'm a person and whatever. And
at least a quaalude.
She just went right by. And wow. it was kind of like in slow motion because I was like, I don't know what I expected. Did I expect her to be like, let's be friends? No, not at all. But I expected just kind of like, eh, but then again, it's Courtney Love. So, you know, never. Anyway, the she left and I'm just standing there like an idiot thinking, not only did I just do that, but I felt nice, but I could be wearing Courtney Love's jacket right now or selling it on eBay, which I wouldn't do, and I didn't do. But that is my true story of an interaction with an icon, so to speak, in Hollywood last week.
Wow.
Wow.
True story.
That's cool.
Huh.
So
just last week, huh?
So, Courtney Love, if you're listening to this, I deserve a bouquet of flowers or something.
Yeah, I kind of feel like you do deserve something, huh?
So that's my story.
I'm trying to think of what you do deserve exactly.
We deserve another story, Theo Von.
Okay, so they have this site out here that some of my friends use that it's called seekingarrangements.com, right?
Okay.
And so it's a site where girls, attractive girls, will go put ads on there because they basically want to meet kind of sugar daddies, right?
Okay.
I think I saw like a murder show about this.
It's popular, right? It's popular everywhere.
Yeah.
I've never used it. I'm not saying that I wouldn't use it at some point, but
this is about a friend. Okay.
This is a
Let's
friend.
Hear
right?
about what happened to the friend.
So what? But so what? What one of my buddies does is he'll meet girls and take them out, and he's like kind of well-to-do, and he's got like some different business and stuff, so it impresses them, and he's totally candid about it, you know. And a lot of the girls want money for the date sometimes, but he never gives them money. He just kind of takes them out and sees where it goes, and you know, maybe he hopes to actually meet a girl that way. I don't know,
but it's purely set up for the purpose of
the women hopefully making money or meeting a guy who has money and basically just wants a pretty girl to be his girlfriend.
Exactly.
Right?
So the women aren't going into it looking for a relationship.
They could be.
Okay.
Because some of them are willing to even get married if they meet the right guy or whatever, you know.
With padding, you know, right. For yeah, money and the relationship.
For money.
There we go. Okay.
So anyway, so one night I had been on a date with a gal and we had a nice time and I was leaving the date and I dropped her off and then I stopped in a parking lot to text for a few minutes to respond to some text messages. Well, I pull into this parking lot, it's around midnight, and there's no other car in the parking lot except for this red Corvette, right? And I'm about four spaces over from the red Corvette, so I pull in, I park, I look over, and there's a pretty girl in the car. She's sitting in the car by herself in the driver's seat. So I just kind of wave like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just a wave. So then she gets out of the car and comes around to my car and gets in and sits in my car, right? So I'm like, well, this is chill, right?
I'm really cool.
Yeah, did you know this just happened in my imagination? You know? So then I start kissing on her, right? And just start smooching on her, right? Just like immediately out of the gate, because obviously she's in the car. Like,
you're in like a parking lot of...
In the parking lot on Sunset, right across from Red Rock.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of
Red
course.
Rock.
Oh, yeah, okay. I'm super impressed that you pulled over to text. That's very responsible.
That's actually, you know what? Good point.
Doesn't happen
That's
all the time.
That's the moral of the story. Go ahead.
So we're sitting there kind of making out, dude, and I'm like kind of like feeling on her breast and everything. She's pretty game, right? And so I'm like, oh, well, then I started to feel a little bit like a dirtbag. I was like, I got to at least take her out to an event or something. You know,
ask her what her name is.
Yeah.
Before I try to get gentle. And I think she, I don't know if she did say her name actually.
Okay.
She didn't say her name. And I remember, and I'll tell you in a minute why, because, so anyway, I'm like, you want to go grab a drink somewhere? So I pull out of the parking lot and we're leaving now. And there's this guy around the exit of the parking lot and he looks like he's lost kind of. And so just being a nice guy, I'm like, you know, this guy, I don't know if he's on dream, he might be lost. I'm just going to, so I run out my window and I'm like, hey man, is everything okay? You know? And he's like, yeah, just, and then he kind of sees the girl in my car. Right. And he like says a name and she like says his name. Right. And so then it's like, she's like, oh, I'm sorry. And then she like gets out of my car and goes.
Because they had an arranged meeting?
Yeah.
Ah.
They had an arranged meeting and goes in. And I don't know if it was off of Seeking Arrangements. I just prefaced it with that site because that seems like possibly the environment.
Some kind of dating site. Yeah.
So you cock blocked his.
Did you look anything like the guy? I mean, because maybe she
like
had
the
seen
dude.
The picture. Okay.
Nothing like
that.
But
she
dude.
Was blind.
So, oh, I see. Okay.
She had gone.
How'd he see her wave then?
That?
Yeah, exactly. She thought it was a restroom she'd walked into. It was my car. But then The guy's like, he like introduced himself. His name was like Aziz or something like that. And he's like, oh, actually, he's like, I'm an agent at CAA. He's like, I think it was CAA. He's like, I'm a big fan of yours. I was like, I'm Theo Von. He's like, oh, I'm actually a big fan of yours, man. You're super funny. And then that was it. I'm like, fuck, you know, like.
And so, and the girl, you left the girl with him.
Yeah, I left the girl with him.
Wow.
Because I didn't know her. She wasn't my girl. Like, I mean, she was for a heartbeat.
Wow.
You know? And she had nice breasts, I'll say that.
Did you get her number?
I didn't get her number, man.
Well.
I mean, I just basically.
I'm sure you can call us one of the 800 numbers and ask for, you don't even know her name. So, all right. So that's interesting Hollywood story.
Yeah.
Jason.
Two interesting ones.
We've got one involving a CAA agent and some
and a missed connection
and some hooking up in a parking lot.
Hey, it just shows you what can happen in Hollywood. Though.
Exactly.
You pull in the parking lot.
And then
attacks.
We've got someone who was very kind and gave Courtney Love her jacket back and even went and found her car for her. Despite
a
the fact
stalker,
that she
you mean?
I you know what I do I think I'm gonna have to go with Matt on this one because not because you're my best friend but because it
wow,
it's
best
a
friend. Now, this shit is escalating.
Yeah, take it.
I can leave if you two. Because... if you were younger, Matt
no,
would
I
want
think,
it.
I think it was a positive story. I think it there was no you know aside from desiring a thank you from Courtney, it didn't
which
paint
isn't...
her in a terrible light. She could have been distracted or whatever reason.
Right.
So to hear like a sort of a positive. Not only on her behalf, but on your behalf of being a nice person. I think that's great.
Oh,
there's
wow.
there's an element of your story, partly because of just the internet in general and people. It's not to do with you, but it all makes me a little sad.
Oh yeah.
Like not being like you
no,
didn't do anything wrong,
no,
but,
it just happened
but like
to
the woman who walks into the car and is like, oh, I guess this is my, and then is like, oh no, this is my. I don't know. It just
and she had to go home to her four kids and
oh, yeah, is that true? No way. No. Way.
She did have four names tattooed on her arm.
Really? Yeah. No way. Are you serious?
I love some names.
Theo has some crazy dating stories. He. A girl that he went and hooked up with who he realized didn't have a leg because she was under the covers at the time. True story.
Dark moments.
But can I please just tell my favorite little thing?
What is it?
The girl with the lisp.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Theo, this is just an easy little story, and this I love so much. Theo, we go to trivia, and Theo comes with this girl one night, and she's beautiful, beautiful. And we're talking and whatever, and I'm making this short because it's not a big story, but I asked her what her favorite TV show was.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has a lisp, and she has a pretty strong lisp. And of all the shows in the world to pick, she picks Suits. So she goes, Thuth. And I'm like, I get it. And Theo, sitting next to me, goes, what? And she goes, Thuth, Thuth. And he goes, well, what? And I said, Suits, Theo, it's Suits. And he goes, oh, yeah, Suits. And yeah, I've never seen that show. And then she doesn't seem to have a problem, whatever. She gets up, go to the bathroom. The best thing Theo's ever said to me. He turns to me and goes, and this is after this went down and we've been talking for like a half hour. He goes, you know she's got a lisp, right? And I was like, yeah, it's pretty obvious. She watches Thuth. Anyway, that cracked me up. Aww. Thuth. All right, so I won that round. Before we go into the next round, I want to know if you have any fun or crazy stories of something that stands out over your... I mean, you grew up in this town.
I did. So. I've definitely... I've seen some weird things. And, you know, I mean, I guess the one that sort of stood out to me, just because it's like... For the most part, we're all talking and doing interviews and stuff like that, and everyone's sort of pretending like, you know, that there's a level of importance that's not real. It's all like this sort of fake thing, but everyone also is like, you know, we're keeping the machine going, and we're doing the interviews, and we're like, this is what I really want to ask of you, even though it just got fed into my ear, you know, a second ago.
So this is on a red carpet or something?
Red carpet, and this is like somewhat of a... It's not like I don't find it a dark story, but it's a little it was like a week or so. No, it was maybe like a month or so after my dad had passed away.
Yeah.
And like a week after my dad passed, Joan of Arcadia aired, and it like and we were then going to all these events and all this stuff, and there was this one thing where we had just won this award and we were backstage being interviewed, and Amber, who played Joan on the show,
Amber Tamblyn, her
father, the legend Russ Tamblyn, had done a couple episodes of the show. So I guess the guy had gotten confused and had taken a question that was meant for Amber and just knew that, you know, something about my dad. So he just went, so he's asking everyone different questions, what's it like on set, blah, blah, blah. And then he went, so what's it like working with your dad? And it was like, literally like less than a month after.
And everybody knew.
And everyone knew. Like... And it was like a thing. And I kind of was like, I just was like, do you mean, I couldn't figure out what he meant. Right. I went, do you mean like Joe? You know, Joe Montaigne, my fake dad? And he went, no, your dad. And I went, and I started thinking of all the horrible, sick jokes I could make. But then I saw his face just like crumble, and he went, no, I mean, sorry, do you have fun working? And I went, yeah. And he went, okay, next question. And he moved on, and he felt so bad, and he apologized. He even wrote me a letter afterwards.
Wow.
And this is one of those things where, for me, I knew immediately that it was a misunderstanding. Yeah. So there's no part of me that was like standing there with my, you know, legs crossed.
This is what makes Jason awesome. He's one of the nicest guys in town, because you give the benefit of the doubt, and you also, that's just where your heart goes. Whereas there are many other people, as we said before, that would react differently.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think people go around, they think they're the center of their own universes, so they cannot believe that you haven't seen their specific show or their, because they've seen all of their own stuff. So they're like, I'm assuming everybody has.
Right.
But so, you know, it was just like a total silly like mistake, but it was so awkward.
And
those 10 seconds just spread like... just for minutes.
We're having a seance actually later.
Yeah, exactly.
The new Ouija board I got is really.
Yeah. But you know what? I appreciate too, because as someone who does interviews, and I've certainly screwed up at times.
I can imagine. It's so tough.
Like,
it sucks.
My God.
You get a moment with those people. Like a lot of these people have been waiting an hour probably to talk to you, and they get that one moment and they have to get it done.
Yeah. Oh, completely.
You see that side of it. I mean, I remember one time I was interviewing Cheryl Burke not too long ago, who's on Dancing with the Stars, and I've interviewed her over and over again through this past like year, because she goes to a lot of events, and she had told me that she was engaged or wanted to be engaged or was with this guy, right? So for whatever reason, I said, how are things going with the guy? I didn't know that they had broken up. And she goes, oh, you know, we broke up. And for whatever reason, I went, yay. And she looks at me like, no, not yay. And I was like, no, good for you. I don't. And then I literally had to catch myself and say, like, I don't know what I'm saying right now. Like, I don't know why my instinct was yay. I'm not even straight. Like, it's not like yay. Like, oh, now you're on the market for me.
No, yeah.
And she was like, oh, it's okay. And I'm like, I don't know where that came from. Like, it just literally generally popped up. So
I had a similar thing. This is a real quick story, but basically, there's a friend of mine that I have who's like he makes his money on dares, and he's just like, he'll get a tattoo if you know,
that's how he makes a living.
Well, he did at one point. Yeah. And he's a really amazing, fascinating guy. And at one point, as part of like a weird dare thing, or he lost a bet or something like that, he got married. They like legally married to this friend of his.
Wow.
And it was just this thing where they were, and it was like on paper and it was technical, but they'd never dated, they were never together, anything like that. But it was just this thing that I knew about her, was like, oh, she's like secretly, weirdly, like a joke, married to my friend, even though it's like a legally binding document.
That's crazy.
So then this other guy, a friend of mine, was dating her, and I went, oh my God, that's so funny, she's like kind of married to my friend. And he was like,
what?
And I was like, no, I mean, it's a joke. Like, and he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, that's weird, dude. And I was like, no. And then I just was like, and I think I ruined their relationship.
Wow.
And then later they got divorced. But with the best intentions. I thought it was like a funny joke. And now in hindsight, I understand how he could find that weird. I was like, but they never kissed. They never were dating. It wasn't a sexual thing. It was just like a joke.
It was a dare.
And he's like, that's not something to joke around. I was like, oh, God, I'm sorry.
You're like, she's cool. So's her husband.
Yeah. You should. Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to round two, since I just demolished round one with Courtney Love story. Hey, Theo, do you know what I think I'm going to sign up for?
Probably Grindr.
And DraftKings.com. Oh. You know why? It just seems to make sports easier to understand for someone like me.
That's true, man. And I'll say this. It's America's favorite one-week fantasy football site where millionaires are being crowned all the time.
Do they do other sports, too?
Yeah, man. They do all types of sports.
Do they do rugby? I like rugby.
Oh, I bet you.
I like rugby players, and I like cricket.
I don't know, man. What I do know is that there's $1 million up for grab every week. Every game's the big game, and every play matters.
Wow. I'll take $1 million.
I bet you will, man.
So you're telling me I don't necessarily need to know about sports and I can make $1 million?
That's exactly what I'm telling you.
Sign me up.
It's not fantasy as usual, bro. It's DraftKings. It's the big time.
Oh. Well, I've already made it to the big time because I have my own podcast.
That's true, man.
So I'm ready to make it to the millionaire big time. So I guess everybody should hurry up to DraftKings.com now and use the promo code ALLEGEDLY to play for a free shot at $1 million.
You know what I'm actually going to do? I'm actually going to use our own promo code when I go sign up.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So get free entry now with the word ALLEGEDLY at DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.com.
DraftKings.
DraftKings.com. .com.
And we're back. So let's start round two.
This is our interview segment in which Theo and I will take turns asking you questions, just kind of about Hollywood and stuff and career. And you will decide who, you know, did a better job. This is my job professionally. This is what I do. So I'm not saying that, you know.
Are you still talking about you? Can we start the round?
We can start the round.
All right, Andrew, let's start the 15 minutes. Andrew,
thank
you very much.
We're going to put 15 minutes on the clock.
I'll start.
Okay.
All right, Mr. Ritter, how does it feel? You're an Emmy-nominated guest actor, right?
Yeah.
And does that, when that happened, did that feel like it validated you, or was there anything there as far as validation went in the business, or did you, what were your thoughts kind of?
That was a huge, validation and surprise. I mean, first of all, it came during one of the most chaotic and painful times right. of my whole life.
Right.
And it was like this weird thing where I had sort of given up in some ways. This sounds really dark, but no, I mean, it was validation because, first of all, aside from sending my tape in to the Emmy office,
you
I didn't
send it in.
Yeah, we everyone
as a team.
Yeah, yeah. They say like pick some scenes from a thing and just send it in. And you do it every year and it's just like it's like throwing a rock into the thing.
I didn't know that actors actually were involved in it. I just figured it was like the producers of the show or whatever.
That is mostly what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, but then like for this kind of thing you just go it's like, you know, it's like a lottery ticket.
Gotcha.
You go, oh, I'll buy one and see.
Right. See.
And then a lot of people will do serious campaigning and like, you know, start going here and going here and it becomes this whole thing. And I've talked to actors who have come up to me and been like, it's looking pretty good for a Emmy nod. Everyone's talking about
right.
it. And, you know, and it's so scary because it's like they, you know, they've been told by the publicists and by other people that, you know, and it's generally because they're doing a great job. And so you can't take that away from them.
Right.
But it's such a scary thing to count on something like that. And you spend all this money trying to get it. So first of all, because that was always a thing that I had known, I thought, well, then it's like a rigged thing anyway,
right.
you know? So, yeah, I'll send it in, but, like, I don't want to – it's embarrassing to be like, ha, really could use a trophy. haven't gotten one since JV baseball. So sportsmanship, which is basically
not actually
yet. Showed up every day.
Yeah, me too.
On the bench, but
water boy.
So yeah, it was like, first of all, it really made me feel amazing. Like they watch everything and they're not listening to the, you know, to the PR machine that's like cramming the nominees down their throat. And it was a really amazing, incredible thing. And I got a phone call and I didn't even realize that was the morning that it was happening. I guess it's different when you're on like a huge show that everyone is talking about and but there hadn't been any kind of, I mean,
big
I
buzz.
Guess like on Twitter, people
was
were like, hey, good job. And I was like,
this was for Parenthood, yeah?
Yeah, this was for Parenthood. And I was a guest thing. It wasn't even really my show, so.
But it evolved into bigger.
Yeah, yeah, it evolved into a bigger thing. And it's one of my favorite jobs that I've ever worked on. Like, everyone there was so amazing, and it felt so great and natural and, you know, it was incredible, so.
Before I ask my question, I'm going to go with my little That's awesome, and I'm completely glad that you got that nomination. My one problem with guest actor in a show is that it's always people who are famous.
100%.
So I was like watching Law and Order the other day, and there was like just someone who was a really great actor who was a guest actor on the day, you know, for the show. And I'm like, they're never going to get a nomination.
Yeah, I know. Like, that's the bummer.
It's like guest famous actor. I'll get
for the
that.
Most part. For the most part. And there are people who like go for, you know, like I talked to this one actor who was like, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to do this thing on that, get an Emmy nomination. And, you know, and I was like, he was wearing like white gloves and he like beckoned me over just to tell me about his exciting life. And then he's like, and then I'll go back to movies. And I was like, well, I don't care about any of that. And then he didn't get nominated. And I had like a secret like, yes. Yeah.
So my question while we're talking about Parenthood, that show received such a huge fan base. And I would assume like pretty, not rabid, but very involved fans who love it. Did you? We've met some of them, I'm sure. Like, what have you ever had any crazy run-ins with people who are fans of that? Who I don't know, think your character's real or something like that, or want you to do something like do an outgoing voicemail or something like that.
I've never been asked to do an outgoing voicemail, but it was a very interesting thing because my character on that show is very sweet and nice, and there are aspects of my personality that I guess that are like that, but he's better than I am as a human being. So it was, you know, there were times where I could feel that someone was putting this thing on me of like,
you are that person.
Yeah, right? and my character is like, you know, maybe wants kids, but he's dating someone who's not sure, and so he's willing to give up, you know, that dream. And so there was an almost a level of like, oh, you would like give up all of your dreams for a person.
Right, right.
No, I'm not quite that
security
selfless. But no, I mean, it was really nice everyone who ever came up to me about that show was really nice and responded to it. And we usually would talk about how we would both cry in every episode.
Really?
Yeah. There was something about that show. There would be like sad things, but then there would be someone who would come and be like, hey, I did this nice thing for you unexpectedly without asking anything in return. And it's just because humans are beautiful.
Right.
Oh.
All right.
And was there ever times like where coming from like a, you know, a prominent acting family, I mean, your family has a history of acting, where you even got fans of like your dads that became like fans of that kind of latched into you? You think like seeking, not necessarily seeking him, but the Ritter name kind of?
There have been times like that. I mean, the craziest time, there have been maybe like a handful of times, maybe five times, where someone has come up to me, like an older man, or especially older men, and they've said,
I've had that happen too.
Friends, probably.
And they've said, I was a fan of your grandfather, I was a fan of your father, and now I'm a fan of yours. And that's sort of been the thing that's blown me away. I mean, there have been a lot of times where, you know, I don't know. Sometimes when people have come up to me about my dad, they're quickly disappointed by the fact that I don't quickly start, you know, making jokes and entertaining them or something like that. And I mean, but they were also disappointed when my dad wouldn't do that, you know, and they would come up to my dad and he would just be like a normal guy and they'd be like,
expect him to do like a pratfall.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know. Yeah, it was one of the weirdest things sort of growing up and seeing kind of like the people just coming up and sort of expecting a weird thing. And then my dad would be just himself, and they would, like, I saw this one time, this woman came over like, oh, you know, please can I take a picture? And she was very intense, and my dad was so nice and like would always take pictures and stuff like that. But this one time he was like, oh, you know what, I'm just here with my kids and I'm just trying to be a dad today, but like it's really nice to meet you. And he shook his hand, and she was like, what an asshole, and like walked away. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Just because he didn't get a picture?
Yeah, that's crazy.
And this is part of that machine too. It's like this thing that's bigger than actual people, and people can't really fulfill what the perception is no matter what.
Right, exactly.
And I have a good question, but one of the things that I love about Jason too is you have worked for your own career in your own right, and you have from the get-go, and that's something that is telling of who you are as a person, but it's not like you were going to try to cash in on that name, get your own acting career. You really worked hard for it and did auditioning and did everything the right way.
I was, you know, the thing is, like, it's still, and maybe it's not even a real thing, but it's just in my head, but it's still embarrassing for me. It would be so embarrassing for me to have clearly had a career handed to me or something like that. Because anytime that's happened and someone's just been given a part because of their dad or their mom or something like that, there's 100 actors who are better. Who, I mean, that's true of any part.
Yeah, right,
like,
true.
In a lot of any, you know, in any part, the people get a part and there's actors who are better that could have gotten it and all this stuff. But there's something that's so kind of embarrassing. Also, people can get parts before they're ready that way.
Right,
and then they embarrass themselves.
Oh,
and
that's
then
gotta be the worst.
Yeah, and so that's the worst thing. And so a lot of it was just like fighting against that feeling of being embarrassing. And I was determined to fail on my own merit.
Could you have, if you had wanted to, like, could you have, were you offered parts or a career, so to speak, because of the family?
There was, there was one time early on where I had done like a couple things, you know, like a Law and Order episode. I was just starting out. I was still in school. And my dad was doing this TV movie. And he was like, all right, well, you've established yourself. Want to play my son in this thing?
Really?
<That's funny. laughs>
Yeah.
And you said no.
And I said, I was like, no, you know, I didn't want to. And I mean, you know, in retrospect, maybe that would have been a nice thing. I didn't realize that I wouldn't have an opportunity to work with him later. But at the same time, again, I didn't feel ready. I felt like embarrassed. I also a lot of times you're not necessarily the, you know,
best,
I mean,
fit.
Yeah. And the other time, like, I mean, since now he's, you know, he's passed, so he's not making, you know, any calls on my behalf or anything. But there have been times where, like, you know, someone's come up and been like, hey, they're making a Three's Company, like, movie. You should do it. And there are just so many actors who are better suited, you know, who actually are more alike my dad and in his mannerisms and his abilities than I could, just because genetically we're are similar. So, you know, I actually got to be pretty good friends with this guy who played my dad in this Three's Company reboot.
Really?
Yeah, cool. His name's Brett Anthony, and he is so great and so fun. And so it was like, I couldn't do what he did.
Yeah.
He was amazing.
That's awesome.
That had to be so interesting.
Mine was just a statement.
Oh.
Now I have a question I want to ask while we're on it. Because this is something that I see. You grew up in this town, and I don't know what that's like. At all. Like, I can go to a restaurant like the Ivy or something. I don't know if this is what you did, and I'll see kids there. And I'm I wonder what it's like growing up in this world. Not privilege, but also this town, because this town has a lot to offer with when you have money. And I know that you also grew up with like a lot of other people who are successful too now. What is that like? And how do you look back on it?
It's interesting. I mean, you know, one of the things that we always grew up with in my family was this thing of how lucky we are, you know, that my dad has been able to make a living in this business, and how tough it is. And there was never really like, there would be times where we would go out and have a fancy dinner and we would like know it was fancy and it would be like a special sort of thing. But, it, you know, there were definitely people in which sort of that I grew up around in which fancy dinners were sort of the norm.
Right.
And, it was interesting. I mean, there were two different kinds of people in the high schools that I went to. First of all, there were plenty of times when I was in high school and I go, oh, did you see this movie? Like, what a awful thing. I'd be like, my dad wrote that. I'd be like, oh my God, sorry.
Right.
I mean, the writing was great, but the producing, oh, my mom was the producer. So anyway, that was like a little weird thing, is you had to like look up.
Especially when it's Schindler's List that you're bashing.
Right, exactly.
That was sick. Just kidding.
No, I love that. I love that movie.
My great grandparents probably produced it.
Right. So yeah, it was, you know, that part was weird. But then there were lots of really, you know, I don't know. I guess there were kids who were sort of brought up being fascinated by the creativity and the interest, you know, like the artistry of this whole thing. And then there are kids who are brought up being impressed by the money that right. you could potentially make. And that was always, I mean, I'm like, you know, so there was, I don't know, there was a little bit of a disconnect.
I genuinely remember when we went to the screening of when you did Freddy versus Jason, and you had like a screening, and it was like, and I remember genuinely that Zooey Deschanel was there, and that was the first time that I was like, oh, like, real, I had just moved here, like, real people, this is a real friend, you yeah. know, like, this isn't, like, it's a weird, you know, kind of goes back and forth, and I was like, oh, they really are friends, and I never had, growing up, friends that were in a business that I was interested in or even had the same common, you know, interests.
That has been the weirdest and the kind of the greatest thing. Because, yeah, Zooey and I've known Zooey since we were six.
Yeah.
And we both got parts in our first movie together called Mumford, which was a crazy coincidence. But and then obviously her career has gone. I'm just more of the tortoise, you know. Guys, slow and steady wins the race. So that's what I'm thinking. But I mean, that's been incredible. Or my best friend Simon Helberg, who's killing it on Big Bang Theory and just did this amazing movie. You know, it's great. It's great to see people, you know, that you like and that you care about, get to do what they want to do.
Right.
So that's been really cool to sort of see, and not only actors but directors and, you know, editors. And
because I would assume, like, Theo, you and I are probably from our high schools or whatever, the people who have not done the most as far as this goes, but like people look to us as like, oh, you're in Hollywood and you made it, you
right,
know,
it's yeah, like you've come
just
here
one and out of like 700 or whatever, because my friends didn't do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, I didn't have any. Yeah, we didn't have any friends like that. I mean, we had a friend that owned a snow cone stand.
That's pretty rad.
It was good.
Ooh.
It was good.
I had one of those little Snoopy things.
I had one of those too.
Oh, those things are the worst.
Oh. I did kind of monopolize the time, so Theo, I'll like give you one more
well,
question.
I just want to know, like, if you see like a ideal role of a movie that you weren't in. Was there a movie that you saw a role and you're like, oh, I really, that fits me. Not that you could have done better than that specific act or anything
no.
like that, but that.
I mean, there was a time, it's actually in hindsight, it's one of my saddest auditions just because I wanted it so bad and I just way overthought it. But it was the original, or not maybe not the original, but the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire.
Yeah.
I somehow got an audition for Spider-Man. I was so young. But Peter Parker was my favorite superhero because he's sort of weird and he's a little bit of a nerd. He likes science and, you know, he has some trouble socially.
Right.
So I connected with. And then he gets bit by this thing and he just has powers. It's not like, you know, I think Batman has to like work out and
right.
do, you know, he has to like keep
right.
in shape and
so
stuff
you want
like
the superpower powers without having to
yeah.
do the work.
Yeah. As you see in the movie, he wakes up and he's like, whoa, damn.
I never looked at it that way. That's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
He just sort of get, and then he can swing around. I mean, yeah, you know, he has to work on some of his skills, but a lot of it just he wakes up with. Anyway, so I went into that audition and I wanted it so bad. I even like tried to work in the Spider-Man hand,
wow.
like, oh, something bit me and like, oh, oops, you know, or something like that. It was like way just to show them that I know that I'm one of the only 6 million people who know what Spider-Man hands look like when he, and anyway, I didn't even get a call back. And but it was I just yeah.
And on the flip side, are there any roles that you turned down that you then saw and go, oh, I made a mistake? Maybe not.
Actually, yes. Absolutely, yes. Not that I made a mistake, but it was a good lesson in terms of like being really careful. There was the script for The Believer. Came around
with Ryan Gosling.
And with Ryan Gosling.
Oh.
And I actually, you know, and the whole thing about it is that he's Jewish, but he's also a Nazi, and it's a very complicated, very smart script, but really intense. And he says all this horrible, you know, anti-Semitic stuff, but it's him. And so anyway, it's very complicated. I had it all memorized. I went to the audition and I felt like, I just felt ill-equipped to do it. I felt like, I was like, I can't say all this stuff. I think it would be better if it really was somebody who was Jewish for some reason. Right. I was like, I would feel so sick saying all these things, even though it's right. a fascinating character right. and all this stuff. And then, you know, Ryan Gosling.
Well, there's nobody Jewier than Ryan Gosling.
No, he's not. And then I see it and I go, wow, he's amazing right. in it. And obviously, even if I had auditioned for it, he probably still would have gotten it because I think he's the greatest actor around. But it was one of those moments where I stepped back because I was too scared of the material.
Yeah. Right.
And I went, oh wow, he was brave, and that seemed to work out.
Interesting. And now we will close the scene on round two.
All right.
And let you decide, because I know you just fell into the conversation, but you still have to pick a winner of whose questioning you liked better. You can do whatever you want.
I'm going to go with Theo this time.
Gratitude. I think it's a great choice.
First of all, it was both of you guys did great interviews, but now we have a tie.
Yeah, now we have a tie.
And now there's some maker. Drama, you know?
Who's going to win the third round? Purpose. All right, so then let's move on to the third round, the great debate. So we have a list of topics that we have written up that are kind of fun. If you remember that You Don't Know Jack game.
You Don't Know Jack.
So it's like that.
It was the only game for a while.
By the way, whatever happened to Jack?
Who was the guy who did the voice?
I have no idea.
He was so funny and like cool and great. I think this guy's like my friend.
It was Ryan Gosling, I think.
It could have been Gosling.
No.
Damn it.
And so you can pick your own topic of something you'd like us to discuss, and then the group will discuss, or you can look at this list and all see right. if there's something that strikes your fancy that you'd like to hear us
talk about.
I'll
take a look at this list.
Yep, so for round three, that's the list, and then you'll choose the topic. Matt and I'll each take a minute and then half of a minute rebuttal.
Yes.
And then vice versa. And then we'll open it up to discussion.
I'm officially picking Ashley Madison and other porn a necessary evil.
Okay. I will go first.
Okay.
Start the clock.
Matt is pro this.
I am pro porn in general. Not because of I'm a fan myself, but I think that it is part of society that I do think it has its downfalls, but I think it's a necessary evil in that people use it as a release, and no pun intended, and it gives them an outlet, so to speak. I do believe personally it's inundated and it's crazy, but I think it's kind of something that has to be there. And I think in that case, in my point of view, the fact that it is there stops other things from happening. Could be something bad or whatnot, but it's an outlet that people can go to not only, you know, because I believe sexuality is just part of humanity and you just got to get your rocks off sometimes. And sometimes I think porn can also help you discover certain things and could even be educational, so to speak, in what you can do or what not to do. And I think things like Ashley Madison, I don't have any problem with that because...
Okay, I have 30 seconds. Discover certain things may have been my favorite line in that whole thing. I don't think anybody's going to porn for education. You know, like never have I sat there with like a graph and been like, oh, I wonder how this is going to pan out, you know, or like learn tips on like how to treat someone better or even how to treat someone sexually. I don't think. I mean, I don't think I've learned anything from porn. And I think that no porn, the old fashioned peeping Tom, that's what we need.
All right, now give your stance, Theo.
Okay, I think we got to get rid of porn because it is just it ruins everything. It's like a lot of times, like I'd be in relationships and I'd rather watch porn than be sexually involved with my partner. And so that I think at a certain point I'm realizing like, man, this has got to be happening to a lot of people. Like this is killing like real desires. And it just makes our desires, it takes them away from our partner. And I think you need that desire, that intimacy to keep a lot of relationships afloat. And if you look at like the Ashley Madison bust, like everybody got busted. I mean, even that one of the great Duggar kids got, you know, went down. And
not one of the great ones.
One of them.
Yeah.
Like if Kirk Cameron would have been on there, that would have just broken my soul. You know, like it just shows that. I don't think it shows that we need it by having that many people get busted on it. I think it shows that it's creating an addiction out there that we're not able to fight against and we got to stop it.
Well, then let me go. My rebuttal for 30 seconds. Number one, Kirk Cameron is an awful person. He's a very anti-gay, so we're not going to even
really
talk about Kirk Cameron. Yes. But secondly,
he looks just like Michelle Duggar.
This is another.
I'm not joking.
I'm just touching on this, and that is, of course, everybody. I don't believe in policing what people want to do as far as, and it's not necessarily an art, but there is a freedom of speech to it that everybody has the right to sign up, has the right to make it, has the right not to. And I don't think we as people have the right to tell them that they can't do that, so to speak. Now, let's open it up for questions and discussions.
Very interesting.
Different points of view.
Very different points of view. Very interesting.
You don't have to. We can talk about it more before you pick what side you're on. So,
yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well.
And you're not on Ashley Madison.
I'm not on Ashley.
That would be awkward.
That would be, yeah. Here's why people on Ashley Madison are not so bad.
Yeah, like it's going to be like on TMZ tomorrow or something. The right. Next person, Jason Ritter.
No, I mean, the thing is, you know, again, they're every once in a while where I'll see something or I'll learn about something and I'll just get sad, like, for humanity. And the internet has a lot to do with it. I think that you know, the problem with Ashley Madison is the lying aspect. Like, if it was one thing if you were to say, listen, honey, I am a polyamorous person. I need to sleep with other people, and then give that person the opportunity to sort of say, I'm okay with that or I'm not okay with that. But the whole lying thing is a little uncomfortable. And I think in general, I think, you know, some of my problems are, I think that, you know, when I was growing up, I remember at camp, this kid had snuck in a Playboy, his dad's thing. And we all were like, we couldn't believe it. We didn't even really know what, I mean, we were like 11, so we didn't even, or 10 or whatever. We didn't really even know what was going on, but it was much harder to see those images than it is for kids now. Like, kids now, they'll just be surfing the internet and something will pop up and it'll like terrify them. And, you know, I heard this one story of this girl who was babysitting this kid, and she went in, put his sister to sleep, and she came back in, and he had stumbled upon like some hardcore porn thing on TV, and she quickly turned it off. And she said this little kid, he was like 4, and he didn't really know what he had seen, but he got so mad, and he was just going around going, and like knocking stuff over, and just like...
Well, I'd be mad, like, too, if someone turned off my porn.
Well, you'd be mad if you saw straight porn.
Yeah. Well, it was like, you know, I think, you know, and so there's... I don't know.
But do you think it should be all cut out and not allowed?
I think it should be harder. I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, there's another issue, which is especially in California, where they made these laws about porn and condoms being mandatory.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm all for that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it is acting, you know, so to speak. And I'm... I don't want them spreading stuff around or getting sick and going to that sort of thing. So I'm for that. But I would never shut down an industry because I just don't feel like I have the right to.
No, I don't think you can shut down the whole industry. But I do think that it can really affect minds and relationships. And I think it's like – it's something that's easily, you know, people get addicted to. And, you know, I don't know. I think people can have a healthy relationship to it, maybe, and some other people can't. And so I think it comes up to you to, like, you know, I mean, not to completely blame this, but I saw that, but Ted Bundy blamed his whole thing on porn.
Right.
Hmm. So, you know,
he's the one
obviously it's not porn's fault that Ted Bundy ended up like that, but Ted Bundy had a sick mind that latched on to some of the anger and some of that element of, you know, of those.
But he also had to deal with Peg and Kelly and Bud.
No, that's Al Bundy. That's Al Bundy.
Yeah,
different.
No, I like what you said. I mean, it seemed like, you know, like in the end, you were kind of like, it should be up to the different people, and it's really up to people in the end, but also that it's too accessible for young people.
I can't imagine if there was, if I was like, when I was like 11 or 12,
I wouldn't leave
there
home.
Was that crazy amount of stuff just right there on a box that I could pull it out. I was like, you know.
You said box.
We had to draw pictures. We had to literally draw pictures.
We had to draw
pictures. Color them in. You had to hire a sketch artist. Like, you had to
There
really...
was a book called Where Did I Come From?
Oh,
and
yeah,
had all
I remember
these
that.
Illustrated
oh,
things, yeah. And there was a naked woman.
I remember that. Yeah, that was the... That
my
was,
friend and I would be like, oh, my God.
That was the thing. You're right. I guess that doesn't really happen anymore. All right, so we have to wrap this up, Jason. Who won the podcast
Who
today?
Gave a better debate? Who won the podcast?
Oh, God, this is so tough.
That's
this
all right.
Really tough.
You can certainly pick Theo.
And you
I
can say not Matt.
It.
I'm.
But
gonna,
you can also pick me.
I can't. Gosh, I think I'm gonna pick Theo.
Yep.
Oh,
and I think you're right.
I'm sorry,
and I
Matt.
Think you're right.
But
don't
I...
ever call me again. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Well, Theo. Congratulations on another win.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes they come in twos, threes, fours, fives even.
So, all right, Theo won that one. We would love to just thank you so much for coming by, Jason. I hope you had fun. And is there anything that you are want people to come see of yours these days? Is working on something that we should keep our eyes out for?
There are a couple independent movies that are out on DVD now and
cool.
Or on Netflix or, you know, I guess I should know like where they all are, but maybe people can find them. One's called About Alex. I'm really
proud
of that one.
Right?
I play Alex in it and it's a really beautiful sort of small movie. And then there's this movie called 7 Minutes that's like a heist movie that's really fun.
Ooh.
That's sort of told out all out of order.
Crushing genres.
Yeah, yeah.
Look at that.
It is super fun. And then a third genre movie, there's this movie called Wild Canaries that I did that I love so much. And I come in and out of it, but it's like, it starts off and it's sort of like, you know, like a... movie about young people in New York, and then all of a sudden it veers off into like 70s thriller murder mystery territory, and so it's really funny.
That's awesome.
And
Wild
it's
Canaries.
Great Wild Canaries.
Wild Canaries,
that's on Netflix for sure.
Oh nice.
And that's a great one. I love
awesome.
That
awesome. Well, we'll check it out. Thank you so much for coming by,
for
Jason
having.
Despite
yeah, thanks
not
so much,
giving me the win.
And thanks for giving us some positive energy and like, you know, making us believe that Hollywood can be a good place.
Yeah
completely. it can
it's
be
a different
yeah.
perspective what we're not used to, so thank you so much.
That's nice.
All right, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll catch you on the next one. Bye.